Morning.
Morning.
Safe to say there's a little bit bigger crowd now. Commitment. What does commitment mean to you? Is it going to work every morning? Going to school? Or is it just taking care of your family? Vince Lombardi once said, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their field of endeavor." And Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." How about you? Are you a committed Christian? Every day, people struggle to follow through with their commitments. I struggle. Do you? Sometimes, we feel like we've given it our best, but other times we know we have failed. It's often hard for us to admit that our spiritual commitment has taken a backseat to our everyday lives. There are six things that can help us develop a deeper relationship with Christ. This morning, we're going to look at those, and I need you to be honest with yourselves. Are you really committed? And if so, how strong is that commitment? Today, as I go over these six indicators, you'll have the opportunity to honestly grade yourselves. Let's begin. Number one, there are many things that compete for our time with Christ. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, the first thing we need to do, as God said, is keep holy the Sabbath day. What does that mean to you? Is it coming to church, or is it staying home and watching the Steeler game? The real question is, do we keep our Sabbath holy? As fun as the alternatives to church may be, we've made a commitment to ourselves and to Christ to come and worship him. If we've made a real commitment to him, we will follow his command to observe the Sabbath day, as he said in Deuteronomy 5:12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. We find ourselves questioning whether or not we kept our promises to God or we turned our backs as we always do. I'll be the first to admit that I have trouble keeping my commitments to God. How about you? Have you kept your commitments to attend church on Sundays? If not, ask yourself why. The second way that shows God we are committed to him is by reading his word, reflecting on it, and finally, putting it into action. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ." How many of us are committed to reading his word every day so that our faith may grow in him? Faith is not the product of some mysterious process. Rather, it comes from the Bible as we read and study it. Personally, I know how tough it is for me because of the commitments I have made to other things. But unfortunately, that's no excuse. But as he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now let me ask you this. How much time do you spend sitting around watching TV and doing nothing when you could be drawing closer to Christ? Is watching TV more important than our commitments to his word? Have you made a commitment to read God's word so that your faith may increase in Christ? God speaks to us today through the scriptures. Believe it or not, we can know God's will. There is no guesswork because he has revealed it to us in print. When was the last time you sat down and said, "I'm going to read the Bible. Not only am I going to read it, but live it"? Number three, prayer. How often do you pray? Have you made a commitment to spend time with God? Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 describes the prayer of Christians as sweet-smelling incense that rises up to the throne of God. Some of us think that praying about only the things we want smells like sweet incense to God. But in reality, it doesn't. He is more focused on our needs rather than our wants, which leads us away from what he really wants for us. When is the last time you had a heart-to-heart talk with God and said, "I am yours, Lord, and I'm here to do your will. And I give myself wholly to you, Lord. Only you, Lord." Do you think it's time to start seeking God's will in prayer versus your will as an individual? I think so. It's time. Number four. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "We are called to live lives worthy of God who calls us into his kingdom and glory." All of you in the congregation are here, most of you every Sunday, and it's great that we gather here freely to praise the Lord. But are we the same person at home, around our family and friends, as we are sitting in the pew? This is the true test. What kind of person are we at home? Are we the type of people that sit respectfully and quietly in the pew and never curse when we step outside these doors? It's easy to act righteous and seemingly perfect in a crowd, but it's the person we are when no one is looking that God really sees. For God sees and knows everything that we do, and He is in our hearts, and He is pained when we lose sight of our commitments to Him and act unlike Christians should. God wants us to be more than just Sunday service Christians. Isn't it time you made the commitment to be righteous, even when no one is around or you're not in church? Number 5, when was the last time you told someone about Christ? When was the last time you saw someone who needed Christ and you evangelized to them? Most of us think that evangelism can only be done by a preacher or by a missionary. The Bible teaches, however, that every Christian, big or small, young or old, has a responsibility to evangelize. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you." The question I want to ask all of you is this: do you openly talk to non-Christians about Christ? I'll be honest. It's not very often that I do, and I feel guilty about it. Every day I see people that need help. At high school every day, things are more messed up than ever. Drugs, sex, alcohol. All things that are wrong and sinful have a grip on people. I pass by many people who struggle with these things every day, and it's so often that it's normal. I do nothing to help any of these people. It's time to evaluate yourself. Everyone here can think of a situation in their lives when you have or had an opportunity to evangelize and you didn't. But why? Is it because we're afraid of what people will think? Are we afraid to tell people that we love the Lord our God? Are we afraid to stand up and show others our faith simply because we dread what they might think of us? Do we think that they will call us weird or freaks because we try to help them? Are we secretly so subconscious of what others may think that we will let someone in need live another moment without knowing Christ? Or maybe it's just the fact that we don't want to evangelize some people simply because of how they dress, how they act. Or maybe we just don't care. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus doesn't say, go and make Christians out of nice people that you want to talk to. He says to make Christians out of everyone. Today, make the commitment to tell someone. Not someone that you necessarily want to talk to, but someone who you know truly needs Christ, no matter who they are or how they act. And finally, our last point. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, on the first day of every week, let each one of you lay by in the store as he may be prospered." It is so easy for us to say that we are going to spend all the money we have earned on things that we want to. Money is a touchy subject because, let's face it, we are committed to material things first rather than God. Money represents the most tangible form of self-sacrifice. The Bible teaches us that Christians should know in advance the amount that they will give, when in reality, most of us merely give the loose change in our pockets when the collection plate is passed. It's hard for me, too. Many of you may not know this, but I've recently become one of Colonel Sanders' finest. And I must say, after slaving over a hot fryer, mopping floors, and doing dishes all week for minimum wage, it's difficult to part with the money I make. It's difficult for all of us, but we simply tip the Lord. But you know what? We have an obligation to the Lord to give our best, and that includes our money. 2 Corinthians 8:5 tells us how to give as God expects. It says, "They gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us in keeping with God's will." If you have given yourself first to the Lord, then you'll have no problem giving Him the first slice of the pie. When you die, do you think you can take the flat-screen TV, the Mercedes, or the multi-million-dollar mansion with you? As nice as it would be, no. None of these things will come with you. But your giving and commitment to Christ will stay with you in heaven for eternity. The joy of our material possessions is nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to the joy of eternity with Christ. Make a commitment today to give the first part of your income to Christ. Finally, we ask ourselves, have you given yourself first to the Lord? That was the purpose of the entire talk today. Your level of commitment to the Lord is a matter determined within your own heart. Only you, no one else, can determine your commitment to Him. The six things we have talked about here are external indicators of your spiritual level of commitment. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith, if indeed to pass the test." How did you do as you examined your faith as other men see it? Now, on your way out today, we'd like you to pick up a commitment stick. What you do is you put this above your door or on your fridge, somewhere where you know you'll see it every day. So when you walk by and you go out to your job or just go out anywhere, you'll see this and you'll remember your commitments to God and the commitments He's made to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making that commitment to us, because deep down, we all know that the real commitment was made on the cross. Father, today, help us make that commitment to you. Help us to keep holy the Sabbath day, read your word, pray, act Christianly no matter our surroundings, evangelize, and share our profits with you. Strengthen us in your spirit so that we can accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.